everyone. Welcome to the New Heart Church Leadership Podcast. We believe that as you invest and listen to this message, that your life is going to move forward. So get ready for an incredible message.
With that in mind, Acts 14, verse 2 says some of this is getting into a deep dive here of Paul and what Barnabas and Paul are doing as they're reaching out to Gentiles. So this is very new. The Jewish community had considered themselves the only ones that knew about the grace of God. They considered themselves the only ones worthy of the grace of God. They considered themselves the only ones that were able to have this. And so for people who were not Jewish to start being accepted into this was absolutely mind-blowing. It was radical. It was good, but now what are they going to do? Do they have to do the Ten Commandments? Do they have to do the, you know, there's so much that was going in to this, not just, oh, people are responding to God's grace. This is awesome. How we would see that today is not how they saw it back then. There was a huge fight. This was very much a civil war kind of thing within the church. So in Acts chapter 14, verse 2 says, some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. And the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. I want to talk about this idea, and this works itself out in leadership when you are connect group, whether it could be maybe some people at work, maybe it could be even your family, or, you know, there's multiple places where you have people that you're trying to lead somewhere. And so this idea here is really important because as I was reading it, I was realizing the way the enemy likes to sow discord, the way the enemy likes to break down unity, the way the enemy likes to send people scattered is not through actions first, it's through the mind and it's through your thoughts. And that's why you see some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds. They poisoned the minds, meaning that if your thought life isn't right, your actions will never be right. And if you, as a leader, don't watch out for and help people see that their thoughts aren't right, then you'll never get the actions that you want to have. Meaning that there is something a lot of times that we have to look at as leaders that is internal, not external. A lot of leadership is spent on externals. But really, the most efficient way to lead is to start looking at internals. And one of the biggest internals that we need to get right is our thought life, is making sure that our thoughts are okay. And here's the problem. In our culture, what we have seen is that any thought is an okay thought. And that's not actually okay. It's not. But a lot of times we in our culture right now we run into that. But here's some thoughts about when I wrote some of these thoughts down. I was thinking about poison. And it was interesting to me that this was used, poisoned the minds. That was the word that was used, poisoned the thoughts. It was, and so I started thinking about poison, and not the group poison, But not the song Poison either. Easy. No, you're not supporting me by that. You're trying to get me off track because I'm going to start. Yeah. All right. So the a couple of things that I wrote down about this idea, poisoned in your thoughts, that we all need to watch. And I use this idea of poison. Three things about poison. One, if you're looking at poison, you have to watch what you take in. Babies will drink anything. Babies will put anything in their mouth, right? Yeah. Only when you start getting older, you start realizing that's disgusting. I'm not going to put my mouth on that. That's, you know, when you get older, you realize, oh, yeah, you don't drink Drano. Yeah. But when you're a baby, all you see is, that's something I can put my mouth on. Maybe I'll drink it. So the idea here is that immaturity is what actually makes you think that every thought should be available to you. But maturity is the thing that says, okay, this thought, if I was immature, I'd say I'd allow this thought. But because I'm mature, I'm not going to allow it. When I'm immature, I'll take in everything. When I'm mature, I start putting gates up to my thoughts and saying my thoughts. Come on. I'm not talking about food, and I'm not talking about time, and I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your thoughts. Are you mature enough to start putting gates around your thought and saying that's an actually poisonous thought? But we have been taught that, oh, no, let those thoughts run around. Let them multiply. Let them go. You don't let them have free range. It's so good. No, it's not. It's like drinking Drano. It's poisoning who you are because you are so used to, if you have a thought, must be available to me. And if I have a thought, it's probably a good one. But not all the thoughts that I have are good. I don't trust my thoughts as much as I used to. When I was younger, I used to trust my thoughts a lot more. I used to treat my thoughts like they were Bible. As I have gotten more mature, I realize, oh, that's Drano. That's acid. That'll eat me up from the inside. I don't want to drink that thing. Oh, that's actually rat poison. I don't want it. It might look like I could eat it, but I don't want to eat it. That actually has been out for 15 years. There's no way I want to eat that now. There's no way, because I've gotten more mature. I've understood that all these thoughts aren't good for me, even though they might be my thoughts. And so this is why the Bible talks about taking every thought captive, every single thought, and putting it under the lordship of Jesus. Jesus, is this how you think? Jesus, is this how you think? Jesus, is this how you think? Jesus, and then all of a sudden now not every thought is available to me. Because I've started to mature, so I'm not going to let the poison get into my mind. I'm not going to, because this is how discord was sown. This is how disunity was sown. It was they poisoned the what? Poisoned the mind. Next one about poison, you have to look at track record. Back in the day, they used to have a taste tester. And for the king, that poor guy's job was to taste every bit of food, drink every bit of wine or whatever liquid was going to the king, and make sure it wasn't poisoned. Well, what kind of job is that? If you're good at your job, sometimes you might just die. Like, but the thing was, better for that servant to die than the king. But you start looking at fruit and saying, what's coming from this vine? What's coming from this vine? What's coming from this vine? And then all of a sudden, because of track record, you see, I don't think I like that. That seems like there's so much disunity there. That seems like there's so much chaos there. That seems like there's so much backbiting there. There seems like there's so much bitterness there. There are times all the time, Jess and I talk about this when it comes to church. When somebody comes to our church from another church, it's not our favorite, because we want people who don't know about Jesus. We want people who have not ever seen a church or a healthy church or something like that, where they're not planted, they can be planted right here. That's what we are praying for. But we understand there are some people that come from other churches, and that's fine, that's great. But I'll tell you a red flag is when they come in and they immediately compliment our church by ripping their last church. I'm telling you right now, at some point, that's going to happen to us. It's going to. And so because of that, I'm looking at track record and saying, I don't know if I want those thoughts. I don't want that stuff. And so I'm going to back away from that. Last thing about poison is this. There are things that are going to get into our minds regardless, and some of those are poisonous. So what do you do with those? You got to have antidote. And the way you have antidote with poison is that you can get antidote from somebody who has come back from being poisoned. Wow. And made it. And what has happened is then they have the antibodies in their body. And so then they take those antibodies, and then that's how they make antidote for poison. Yeah. And so I thought about this, and I thought about, first of all, what is that for us? First and foremost is Jesus. Jesus was killed, came back to life, and because he came back to life, he has the ability to give us life in every dead situation. And so this is why we look at Jesus as the one who gives us life and life eternal. And so this is where you first go. When you're thinking about you have some thoughts and aren't right, you go to Jesus. That is where you get your antibodies. But also, you got people around you. And those people maybe have come back from some things that have tried to poison them or tried to get them off track or tried to get them a different way. And all of a sudden now they have some of that antidote that you need. So from people, you just start hearing. The easiest way I can describe it is that you start having conversations and maybe you let some of these poisonous thoughts out to somebody who has been through some fire and come back on the other side of it, and they don't smell like smoke, and you start letting some of these poison thoughts out to them, and they start saying, okay, let me tell you what I see. And all of a sudden, antidote starts coming in. Starts from Jesus, going right through us to people who need to hear some really unpoisoned thoughts. And then this last part with this scripture, let me just read this. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. There is something. Everybody wants health. They really do. But sometimes it feels so hard, especially in your mind, to have completely healthy thoughts all the time. But I was struck by this at the very end of these verses. Even in the midst of having people that had poison thoughts, the apostles stayed a long time. And there is something about faithfulness that is enables healthy thoughts. To where you just, this is why we talk about being planted in church. This is why we talk about just staying. This is why we talk about even in a difficult situation. I'm sure this wasn't easy for Paul, and I'm sure this wasn't easy for Barnabas to be all around people that had poison thoughts, but they stayed, the Bible said, a long time. Even when somebody says something stupid. I don't know about you, but I feel like when somebody says something stupid, I'm like, I'm out. I got enough dumb stuff going on in my mind. I don't need to hear yours too. You know, like I'm out. Like, but there's something that happens supernaturally, and I can't even put my finger on all of it because it really is Holy Spirit activity. But when you just stay there a long time, God is able to do some things in the midst of this, even when it doesn't seem like it or doesn't feel like this is so enjoyable at this moment. There's help that starts coming. And then the Bible said, and then the Lord proved their message was true. So a lot of times when you're fighting poisonous thoughts, don't you just want to prove dumb people wrong? Like, you know, this is where some of you are like, I should have been a lawyer because I'm going to sit down and show you point by point how dumb you are. And then at the end, we're both going to co-sign on that you're dumb. You know, like that's kind of how we think. Now, we'd never say that because that sounds so prideful. So in church, we're just like, I just really like to discuss things and talk, but we all know what that means. But when you stay somewhere faithfully and just do what God has asked you to do, you don't have to prove everybody else's thoughts wrong. God will do the proving. This is what the Bible said. It said, and the Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs. And what God's going to do the work. God's going to do the work. God's going to do the work. You don't have to be everybody's thought police. Now, it's important as a leader to realize that everybody's fighting a battle in their mind. Like, that's important. And there's also, like, you want to help people have the right thoughts. But again, your biggest weapon in these moments is asking, staying right where God planted you and asking God, you got to help people's thought. You got to work in their heart. You got to work in their spirit. They're fighting some things right now. I can see it. And I want to make sure, God, that God, flood their mind with good thoughts. Flood their mind. Help me. If I need to say some things, I'll say some things. If I need to get in there, I'll get in there. God, help all of those things. Help them see themselves as not letting every thought come in and run rampant. Help them see that they can put up some gateways in their own mind. Help them see this is God doing the fighting. And God will prove it. And so that we can have just as much as we can. I just don't want to have any poison in my mind. I want to have good thought. This is why in Philippians, Paul said, whatever is pure, whatever is good, whatever is noble, think on these things. So my last thing real quick, what fills your mind? What do you allow in all the time? Because if it's not pure, if it's not noble, it's not excellent, it's not praiseworthy, you might be susceptible to a lot of poison. And this isn't all, you know, this is not all fully formed things, but I think it's really good for us just to ponder. And like, okay, I just don't want to have, my biggest thing was, I just don't want to have poison thoughts. Yeah. I just don't want that. So God, help us to be the best leaders we can be. God, help us to have our minds right. And God, help us with our minds right to be able to focus and stay where you planted us. In Jesus' name, amen.